We're talking about the seven basic needs of the wife. We've come to number five. Thought this was a good magazine you want to pick up. Be all she ever wants. How about that? Seven basic needs of the wife. Number five, she needs to know you, the husband, enjoy setting aside quality time for intimate conversation with her. I believe this was the thing that most guided me as God helped my wife and I get together and be together. Our dating time spent hours and hours talking. And I kind of felt that maybe that was over with now that we got married. And I realize now that that was just the foretaste. And if you are missing this, you're missing a basic need of your wife, perhaps the most important. Here's the insight. Perhaps the most basic need of your wife is intimate communication. Men are usually fairly big on intimacy. Yes, we like intimacy. We like intimacy, and they don't think of it the same way as the wife thinks of it. Intimate conversation. Physical intimacy can be done to use people. Intimate conversation is used to know people. Intimate conversation is only possible when there is a oneness of spirit, and this is the goal of a marriage. Oneness of spirit, being one, the two shall be one. Oneness of spirit, as well as of the flesh, is the goal of marriage. So in a normal situation, the husband works, he comes home, the wife sees him there. When you come home, your wife has more things to talk about than you probably suspect. What could have happened today that would have, you know, that she would talk a lot about? Probably more than you suspect. But her enjoyment of sharing them only comes if she knows that you enjoy listening and are not hoping to do something else. The problem is this, men. Men usually spend most of their day in a business sense, business mode, and time is money and all this kind of stuff. And within the first five words of a conversation, he makes a decision whether this is an essential conversation or not. And so he works now to cut it off or to sit down and deal with it. Well, on that basis, the wife probably doesn't have much of business interest to deal with, you see. But of her life, of her experience, a lot. So, if she senses that you are preoccupied or in a hurry, she won't talk, or will discuss only a few items of lesser importance. And she is willing to make this sacrifice until someone else calls or visits and talks about trivia to you. Why does he have time for them and not for me? Then she reacts. Boom. There, explosion. This is especially true if you take time to visit another woman. Take time with that. See? Her reaction has a scriptural basis. When you were married, you relinquished full rights over your body, including your ears and mouth. You belong to her, God says. She belongs to you, but you belong to her. So, it's her ears, and it's your mouth, but you are using it in service of her. The key to intimate conversation is having a regular time for it. Half of her enjoyment will be anticipating these times. Now, the ultimate level of intimate conversation occurs, and you should work toward this, when your wife trusts you with the secrets of her deepest emotions. Are you trustworthy? Can you deal with this? So let's look at some actions. List the regular time or times you and your wife have for intimate conversation. If none, plan one now. When is that the major thing you do? My wife and I often talk while we're driving, you know, in the car, and that can be more or less. But we also like relaxing at home, spending some time together. So think this through. List the places that your wife enjoys going in order to have intimate conversation. So think of that through. Breakfast at, shopping at, dinner at home during. So think it through. And let that mean that no matter what else you're doing there, one of the things you want to work toward is open for intimate conversation. Now, being in one of these places during this time, list the distractions that hinder intimate conversation when you're together and purpose to avoid them. Let me mention these because it may be something you hadn't thought of. Hindrances, distractions. How about sitting there but having your mind on other things? How about focusing on her? Phone calls. You know the old saying, secretary, hold my calls. This is an important meeting. Well, evaluate that. You get your phone right with you now, but if the phone call comes, you say, I can pick this up later. Elevate the intimate conversation to a level of importance. How about she shows up and then you're late, being late for your appointment? Not a good start. How about, oh, look, there's Joe and Tom and me talking to friends that you meet. And now she's shoved, dare I say, to a later time. Here's number one, looking at other women. You're having this intimate conversation, then you go, no, wrong. How about lack of manners? You say, manners? What's that got to do with things? You know what manners are? Manners are you acting in such a way as to show that you are aware of a lady's presence. I always thought it was funny. You have the mountain men back in the Old West, you know. Mountain men, and they didn't shave, they didn't wash probably, you know. And then came time to go to town to get supplies. And what did they do? Well, they shaved. And they took a bath, or they went to town, found a place that got hot water, and they would bathe there. See? And why would they do that? Because they recognized the ladies would be there. They didn't want to look like an animal to them. See? Good manners. Good manners. If you have your face down there shoveling food into your mouth, you know, not a good thing. Show manners. How about improper dress and grooming? I don't know what that means today. My wife and I have always kind of liked to dress up just a little bit when we go out to a nice restaurant. And the guy next to us is in overalls. You know, I mean, just, I don't know, a T-shirt, shorts, gym shoes. And yeah, it's okay. And it's not, that's not important. It's who we are to each other that matters. What if you choose a place that has distracting music or surroundings? And then bringing up unpleasant subjects. Oh, I should tell you what happened at work today. This guy was picking his nose. Just don't get into that, okay? Now, ask yourself this on a positive level here. What things do you look forward to sharing with your wife? She probably wouldn't be that interested in, you know, blow-by-blow description of work things, but how it affected you, she would be interested in that. So, events of the day. Needs and activities of the children. Talk about those things. Her ideas on home improvements. Uh-oh. Enjoyable past memories. That's always a welcome subject. I remember. Spiritual lessons and insights. If you were to say, I think God taught me a special lesson today, she'd be interested to hear this because this reveals something about you. How about clothes she is making or buying? Talk about those things. And then how she really feels about certain things. This is the challenge. This is the thing that a man can get into and say, I want to get below the surface on this. Not just your opinion. How do you feel about this? See? Let's look at some more insights. Most wives have deep fears and emotions that they have never shared with their husband. So why would they not share it? Well, reasons wives do not share emotions. Glad you asked. Number one, she might be feeling guilty for having them. He'll think it's silly. See? Secondly, hoping they will pass. Three, fearing rejection from you. Four, desiring to reduce your burdens. I don't want to add to his burdens. And five, knowing you don't have the answers. I could say, but it wouldn't help anything. You know, if your wife wants to approach you with this, she finds out how you will respond to her fears and whether or not you have answers by telling you about another woman who has the same problem. This may be a real situation. You know, Carol, she was saying she had this problem. So what do you do? How do you respond? A revealing response. She's going to watch. She's going to listen. She watches to see if you have compassion or condemnation. Well, that's terrible. What about understanding or bewilderment? I don't have a clue about that. How about patience or intolerance? And then how about practical help or light philosophical thoughts? Well, whatsoever will be, will be. No help. Men, here's the challenge. Your wife's fears test your love. Scripture, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, the God kind of love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The true love of your wife wants to heal fears, wants to heal damaged spots. So it is your responsibility to lovingly and patiently assist your wife to identify first of all, and then verbalize her fears, because once you can get that out in front where she can see it, it might not be so intimidating as this nebulous thing that bothers her. And then to gain freedom from God by resolving them, because problems are not just problems. Problems are something that you can work through, that you can build up and resolve, that you can take care of it. So, actions. What steps can you, the husband, take to remove your wife's fears? Well, first of all, become aware of many of the fears that many wives share. You say, well, my wife's fearless. Well, many wives are not, whatever front they put on. And here's some of them. Insecurity if the husband dies. Many a husband, unlike me, take care of all the financial stuff and are so practical that they know how to change a light bulb. Okay, I got that one, but just other stuff. And I've seen it where he dies and she's just stuck. Part of your work is to deal with this possible insecurity if you die. How about getting old? That sounds awfully scary when you're a young person. What if I get old and can't do anything? How about becoming unattractive to the husband? One preacher said, he waited for his wife to turn 40. Then he pulled out this old joke. And he said, well, time to trade you in for 220s. She said, honey, you're not wired for 220. I thought that was a good one. Do you show that you like her because, perhaps only because, you like the way she looks? What a dangerous thing you've done. What a tightrope you've set for her to walk. What if she fears ill health, maybe due to past sins? What about the idea of failing as a wife or mother? We were talking in Sunday school about nobody's perfect, so that means somebody's going to fail sometime. But I like the idea. The guy said, success is learning how to do things well, which is usually learned by failures and learning what didn't work. So don't think of it as failure, think of it as feedback, how to do it right the next time. What if the husband loses the job? Here's something, I don't hear about it so much anymore. Maybe it's still around. Maybe it's maybe so deep set anymore, we don't even talk about it. But how about having a mental or emotional breakdown? I think it's more emotional than it is mental. Mental breakdown happens when you, get an ice pick in the head or something, something that damages the brain. But wrong thinking is more an emotional problem. But she had an aunt that went cuckoo, Maybe it comes down to me. How about social awkwardness? Maybe you're around people that she's not, doesn't feel comfortable with them. How about educational deficiency? Maybe she didn't have your training or the training of others that you're with. Physical safety when alone. Future of children. And then the very concept of jealousy, being displaced by another. Being displaced by another. So, many fears that many wives have. Which one of these does your wife have? Do you know? Are you willing to find out? So, number one, become aware of the many fears. Number two, during times of intimate conversation, choose one of these and ask her how she really feels about it. Now, there's a tendency, if she's hesitant to talk about it, to give you a surface answer. So after her first reply, ask, in addition to that, do you have any other feelings about it? Or if she said something that seems to take it then a bit further. Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about what you said there. And third and last, hope of getting out early. How about that? Number three, take each fear your wife expresses and go to God. Ask him for wisdom in resolving it. You say, what? He's just going to pop it into my head? Well, probably not. But ask then, what scripture deals with that fear? And if you don't know, you can ask me. If I don't know, I have books that will give it to you. We'll get to the answer to this. You have resources. You have people. What scripture deals with that fear? So you ask that question. You find those scriptures. And then what do? You study. Memorize it. How great would it be to be able to say, I've been thinking about this. And you know what I found in the Bible? Again, what steps of action can you take? What needs to be done? How about if the husband dies? Well, there are legal things that need to be taken care of. There are wills and all that kind of stuff. And, what is it, the secret bank box thing? What is that? Safety deposit box. She ought to know how to get access to that, what that means. Those are steps you can take, you see, and begin taking them. Put a little file together and get this to her. And finally, what steps of action can she take? And can you guide her in that? There's a thing, I don't have the time to get into it, but if you ask yourself, here's where she is, this is where she needs to be, what's the thing right now that's prohibiting her from being there? What's that first main thing? You identify that. Now take a step back and say, what is the thing that's preventing her from taking that step? So now you have a second step, you see. And now you say, what needs to be done to take care of that one? Finally, you're back to a thing, well, I just need to do it. Okay, now we're at a starting point. So I just do this. That takes care of the next problem, which takes care of the next problem. And finally, you get this thing solved. Steps of action. And then encourage her. Don't shame her. Don't pity her. Encourage her to take those steps. Be the comforter, the encourager, the exhorter. Walk alongside and help her take those steps. Well, husbands, I can't express enough that this is the thing that, of all the things we're talking about, will make the biggest change in the way your wife feels about you, about marriage, about everything, because this is at the heart of so much of this. Getting to know her, wanting to know her, having intimate conversation. Look forward to it. look forward to the wonderful results of it. And I can testify it's one of the things my wife and I had to learn to do. And consciously submit to God's authority by giving her your time, your ears, your mouth, your brain, and help her out. Intimate conversation. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you might bless the marriages of everyone within the sound of my voice. I ask that you might help them to be that perfect thing that you have for them, a union of two imperfect people, a getting together and growing together, of helping each other, of compassionately listening to each other, finding areas that need help, and helping. Father, I ask that you might so guide, so direct, that the hearts of men who say, I don't know how to talk to women, would change and recognize that you have fitted them for this purpose, and you empower them by your grace to be able to do it well. I ask that you might give us as husbands that holy desire, as Christ did for the church, to make our wife glorious in our sight and in yours. Help us to defeat the fears, to overcome weaknesses, to build her up in her strengths, and to give her the opportunities to show herself strong for you. With heads bowed, eyes closed, it may be you're saying, Pastor, I've kind of neglected this. I haven't taken the time to actually say. Let's just talk. Meeting these times, having intimate conversation. But seeing what you've said, showing what the scripture wants, this is a goal that I have. And I want to emphasize this, and I want to help in this. God helping me, this is my prayer. Would you slip your hand up, say, pray for me. This is something I need. Yes, amen. Others, yes, yes. Father, then we dedicate ourselves to your goal, to your purpose, bringing us together in oneness of spirit. And we pray it in Jesus' name, amen.